After the Krishnas moved out in the mid-80s, Croom was turned into a training centre. This was the era of YTS, the Thatcher government's youth training scheme. Hundreds of young people came to Croom to complete a few weeks of training in life and social skills. But this phase didn't last long, and by 1986, the Coventry home had become a hotel, owned by Mr. and Mrs. Sobey. Julia Hawksmoor worked there.
The building was just stunning, and I felt totally in love with it as I came through the gates and drove down past those cedar trees. I'd love to explore around the inside. I kind of felt I had it to myself quite a lot, because part of my job was I was the person who opened all the shutters every morning and then closed them every evening. It took an hour each time because there are so many windows. And the quality of the craftsmanship that I was dealing with, they were easy to open and close. I've had Victorian ones that were terrible, but these ones, beautifully made. At one point, Mr. and Mrs. Sobey, when they realised that I'd got architectural experience, they took me round the whole house again, asking me basically how much they could sell all the fireplaces and other fittings for. And I was fully aware that some of those fireplaces, like the caryatid fireplace, which is a work of art, must be, at the time, I'd seen a catalogue that it was 83,000 to 86,000, which was a phenomenal amount of money in 1986. And I refused to tell them because I knew that if they had an idea of how much money all these things were worth, they would sell them and they would disappear and be stolen essentially from Croom. So I kept saying again and again, it's fixtures and fittings, it's part of the house, you can't separate it, you can't sell it off. And I was really pleased to go back and see that they were still there, and I feel I personally saved them all.
So, a big thank you to Julia for playing her part in preserving some of the fabric of Croom. No big country house is complete without its ghost stories, and over the years we've collected a fair few, including this one from Julia.
As it opened as a hotel, we were very understaffed, and I spent a lot of time at reception, just waiting for people to turn up and make them coffee, talk to them, whatever. It was a very lonely job, but it wasn't so bad because I had a lot of company from ghosts. We were having a party one night and I said, does anybody else see that little ghost in the reception? And somebody else said, oh yes, the girl in the white nightdress. And somebody else said, it's like one of those 18th century Jane Austen type dresses. And somebody else said, yes, and she stands in the window embrasure and pointed out that it's the only window in the house from which you can see the gateway. So if she was standing there waiting for her lover or parents, I don't know, to arrive in a coach, that would be the place that she would stand and wait for people to come. And everybody had seen her.
By the 1990s, the court was owned by a succession of property developers, and in 1996, a planning application was prepared for the court to become a hotel with a 27-hole golf course carved out of the parkland. This coincided with Sun Alliance's decision to sell its part of the estate, and at this point, with the aid of a huge grant from the newly established National Lottery, the National Trust stepped in successfully to purchase and protect some 760 acres of the park and woodland. The remainder was sold to the Society of Merchant Venturers. At the same time, the Croom Estate trustees sold much of their retained estate to their sitting tenants. Subsequently, the trustees formed the Croom Heritage Trust, which in 2007 was able to repurchase the main house of Croom Court from a private owner, and also the Red Wing in 2011, both of which are currently leased to the National Trust. At last, this historic house has been reunited with its gardens and parkland.
Thank you.